Luke 23, verse 39. The Bible says, "One of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, 'If thou be Christ, save thyself and us.' But the other answering rebuked him, saying, 'Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss.' And he said unto Jesus, 'Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom.' And Jesus said unto him, 'Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise.' And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour, and the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst." And everybody's seen the pictures of Golgotha, and that is probably, one cross can mean a lot of things, okay? And I know that there's a lot of crosses out there that mean a certain thing, but anytime you see three crosses, there is an automatic assumption that it's talking about Calvary. Does that make sense? So a lot of times you see one cross, but that can be, a lot of times you'll see it going down the highway or something, somebody got killed someplace, and they'll put a cross there in remembrance of that person. But you never see three crosses and without thinking of Calvary. And I think that is very telling, because there is something that happened at Calvary that is different than any other moment. And that was the fact that there was two decisions made at Calvary. And they were made by two thieves. One decision was obviously to accept Christ as his personal Savior. The other one was to, in all honesty, was to decide that he's going to pay for his own sins. Okay? And that really is what salvation really comes down to. You either accept the fact that Jesus Christ, as the one thief said, "This man has done nothing amiss." Why? And that is, I think, the thief that is sitting there on or hanging on that cross looks at Jesus and knows this man is innocent.
Right.
And then he clarifies that he is the Son. And he said unto Jesus, "Lord," verse 42 in the passage in Luke, he said, "Lord," capital L, "remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Right? Why did he say that? He knew this was the Son of God. Okay? He was looking forward to the kingdom that was going to come. All right? He knew he was going to die just like Jesus was going to die on the cross. But in his heart of hearts, he knew that there was something different. And he was trusting Jesus as his personal Savior. The two thieves on the cross very much throws a lot of the doctrines that some churches have as far as your work salvation. Okay? There was nothing that this man did to inherit eternal life.
That's right.
Absolutely nothing. There was no opportunity for this man to be baptized.
Right.
Okay? What caused this man to go to heaven? His belief and trust in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
As the only way that he could get to heaven.
Yes.
And the truth of the matter is, this is a perfect example of what true salvation is. Okay? And they call it jailhouse religion or deathbed, salvation. And I think there is some of that happens. But our lives are not based on just, well, I'm in a lot of trouble and I'm gonna go to God. And honestly, that's fine if they're sincere about it. But many times we go almost the opposite direction and we're like, well, you have to live out your Christian life. And this man couldn't. There's a lot of people, I think, that have truly, honestly been saved on their deathbed, and they had no opportunity to show fruits for their labor.
Right.
Now, is that the ideal situation? No. You know what the ideal situation is? For a young child to be saved, where they've got their whole life that they can serve God. I've often, if I had four different size pencils up here and they were all sharpened to a different degree, and and I asked you, which one of these is the oldest, the oldest pencil or whatever? And a lot of times we associate age with potential, but that's not necessarily true. All right? And you know, honestly, the shortest pencil has the least amount of life left. Okay? And a lot of times we go, oh, the big one, it's the adult pencil. No, the shortest one is the adult pencil because it's got the least amount of life left. And as a Christian, wouldn't it be, and for those of you that have gotten saved later on in life, there's a certain amount of, I wish I would have. Okay? There's a certain amount of that. But as a child, they've got everything in front of them. And they've got the whole opportunity to serve God and to love God and to honor God. We have the two thieves on the cross. So in the middle, we've got the cross of the Savior. Who is on this cross? It's Jesus. We've talked about this. The Son of God. Jesus is on the cross because he is dying for us. Because he is dying for you. Because he is dying for me. And he did no sin. Jesus did no sin. He was the perfect sacrifice for us. Romans chapter 5, verse number 8. Most of you are familiar with that. But God commendeth or showed his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, what? Christ died for us. All right? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 and 4. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Christ died for us. Christ, and he died for both of those thieves, folks.
Yep.
He didn't, there was no, he was in the middle. There was no bias towards either one of them. All right, and the ground is very level at the cross, okay? And but Jesus died for both of those men, and both of them were there justly. On one side, we have the cross of the believing thief. Who is on this cross? He is a man who is a sinner. Listen, we're all condemned. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is what? It's death. And it's not just talking about a physical death, although because of our sin, we die a physical death.
Right.
All right? But it's also talking about a spiritual death. We can go to Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and whoremongers and adulterers and sorcerers and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. All right? And that is to all of us. That's a condemnation. Matthew chapter 27, we see that this unbelieving thief at first did not. Both of them railed on Jesus, the Bible says. It says, he trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves, plural, also which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. Why was this thief promised paradise? He did realize he was a sinner, but he changed his mind and chose to believe that Jesus Christ was the sinless Savior. The Bible says in the passage that we're at, verse 40, but the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. Nothing amiss. There was only one way for our sin debt to be completely rectified, paid for. Okay, let me rephrase that. There's two ways. Okay? There's two ways. One way... You're like, everybody's holding their breath. All right. One way is you pay for it yourself. And you know what that entails? Spending an eternity in hell. Yeah, you can pay for it, but you'll spend an eternity in hell doing it. Okay? Why? Because that's the wage of it. That's the penalty of it. Okay? You can pay for your sin, but you'll spend an eternity in hell doing it. Or you can accept a gift that has already been paid for.
Amen.
Why? Because Jesus already, you know, pastor, you know, if God inhabits, pastors taught this, if God inhabits eternity, does it, you know, is Jesus still paying? I don't know how that works. That's part of God that you can't fathom. Okay? If I can understand God, he's not a very big God because my brain isn't a very can't understand a lot of things. But God loved us so much that God sent His Son. We read it already, Romans 5, verse 8. God sent His Son to die on the cross for us. Okay? And so Jesus Christ paid that. One of these thieves, for whatever reason, his pride, his arrogance, he decided that, yeah, I'm going to die here on the cross. And I don't believe that that's the Son of God. Do you know who is burning in hell paying for his sins still today? That thief on the cross. The unrepentant one, the one that didn't want to accept Jesus Christ as personal Savior. Yeah, somebody can, but they'll spend an eternity in hell doing it. Okay? And the truth of the matter is they will never actually bring that into reconciliation. Okay? An eternity in hell. Eternity, that's another thing we can't fathom. Okay? But an eternity in hell, and it won't be, it will never be reconciled, never be paid for. He called upon Christ for salvation. Look at verse number 42. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus, still in pain and torture, in verse 43, and Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Today. You know what? I don't know what happened to that thief's heart. Probably the same thing that happened to all of our hearts for those of you that accepted Jesus Christ, your personal Savior. Yeah, there is pain. Maybe in death there's that suffering, but there's also a peace that passes understanding. All right? And that peace was given to that thief on the cross. He received Christ's promise that he would be with Jesus in heaven. The second thief was a man who was also a sinner. He was also a thief. He was a man who at first did not believe. We already talked that about the first man. Why did he die and go to hell? When he presented with the truth, he still refused to accept Jesus as his Savior. He saw Jesus die. He understood that Jesus claimed to be the Savior. He saw the other thief get saved, but he refused to believe and call upon Christ. John chapter 3, a very familiar verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Folks, listen, these two thieves represent every single one of us.
That's right.
You are one or the other.
Certainly.
Okay? In a simile, we are. I am one or the other of these two thieves. Okay? There are no other options.
Right.
You've got Jesus and a saved person and a lost person. And up in heaven, you know God sees it the same way. There is no gray middle ground here, okay? We're one of the other. And there has to be a time in each one of our lives where we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. You believe that He is the Son of God, just like that thief on the cross. Listen, your good works, although they are should be a representation of what you are on the inside, that's not going to save you. There's a lot of doctrines out there. You either get to heaven by what Jesus has already done or by what you're trying to do. That's all there is to it, okay? And this second thief, he decided, I'm good. How many times have you heard that? I think I'm good. Yeah, I'm going to die, but I'm good. The moment he took his last breath, when that soldier came by and broke his legs with perhaps a steel or steel or iron, an iron club, an iron mace, came by and broke his legs, because they did. They broke both their legs.
Right.
And he couldn't push up anymore to breathe, and he took his last breath. When he opened his eyes in hell. All right? And that's a choice that everyone has to make. Now, I know that's the lesson. I know I'm teaching to the adult class, and I would pray that every one of us can go back to a place, your Golgotha, if you would, that place of choice, okay? Because that's what it was for these two men, was a place of choices. And I was honestly, I wanted to teach that Because I think salvation can never be taught too many times.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
Salvation is, and you know, dealing with people. I don't know how many times we've gone back to this passage when you talk about the thieves on the cross.
Yep.
You know, well, you got to be baptized to be saved. No, you don't. Baptism doesn't save you. Okay? Belief in Jesus Christ saves you. This thief couldn't be baptized. Okay? There's a lot of people that have been saved in the course of history that haven't been baptized. But baptism is the first step of obedience after you are saved. All right? That's showing a public testimony of your faith in Christ. Good works can't save us. He didn't have a chance to do good works. But Jesus still said today. Why? Because of his belief in Jesus Christ. God, Jesus, you're the only way to remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus promised him today. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. What a promise. But you know, I was thinking and I try to think, okay, what else happened? You know, we often look at the people around the cross in relationship to Jesus, right? Okay? But have you ever thought that these two men also had families? Did you ever think that these two men also perhaps had friends? Did you ever think that these two men weren't perhaps alone on that hill? And they may have had, yeah, they were sinners. Okay, they were thieves. They were perhaps like Barabbas, if you would. They were maybe rebels. But there could have still been a wife that was watching her husband die on a cross. It wasn't just Jesus's. And obviously that's who we kind of focus on. That's who we know most about. But there were other people there that day. Crucifixions were very much a public, almost a public amusement to a lot of people. Except if you were touched by it. And you know, let's just say there were two families there that was watching their dad and their father hang on a cross. What did they see that day? They saw a man make a choice. And I think choices, folks, choices in life are extremely important. I don't think choices just stop. Many times we make choices based on the immediate. Okay? And sometimes choices are made based on the immediate because you have to make an immediate choice. A lot of choices we make are irrelevant in a lot of ways. Okay? What kind of shampoo you buy when you're standing at the aisle in Walmart or whatever, for the most part, it's probably irrelevant. Does that make sense? Okay. But you still have to make a choice in that. Okay. What you decide to eat for supper one night is, for the most part, irrelevant. You may regret it later, but it's, for the most part, irrelevant at the moment, right? I mean, in the whole scheme of things, it's irrelevant. I don't know if I've told this before. I have, everybody know when I say the word deja vu, what I mean by that. It's kind of like this feeling you have after something happens, like that, yeah, I've been here before. I don't know why I've been here before, but I think I've been here before. Or I've seen this, like, you know, I'm not into the vision thing, but it's like, this is weird. Like, I've almost, like, so Emily, when, The day that Emily broke her arm, okay, and I think most of you probably know the story. So we had gone to the Morris's house to drop off eggs is what we had done, okay. So we go to the Morris's house and we were riding. We have like a Gator UTV thing, and we was riding in that, and I had all four of the kids with me, and and I know you're not supposed to do this, but this is country. This is what you do, all right? So I had two kids in the front, and I had two kids in the back, and I had the dog in the back, all right? And we were just, you know, driving around. You know, it's fun to do. That's what you do, okay? No helmets, praise God. You know, nothing like that, all right? We were all, you know, very countrified. All right, so we was going down the road, and I pull, okay, and this is one of those moments. So I get to the end of the Morris's driveway, right? I can go left and go like straight to my house, okay? I can go right and I go around the block, and go to my house. And it was weird. So I'm sitting at the driveway and at the road, and there's this thought. I'm not joking. There's a thought that crosses me, because I'm like sitting there, like, okay, which way do I go? And obviously the quickest way would be to turn left. And I'm like, in the back of my mind, I thought this. I thought, and so is the destiny of choices. No joke. Right, you know, because I travel, you know, from here to my house is, you know, some of you live, you know, there's a very distinct, direct way that you go to your house, okay? Me, I've got like six ways I go back and forth to my house. I'm always going, I just go this way, or I'll go this way, or I'll go around the block, or I'll go up and come back. You know, I just drive all over the place. But that thought crossed my mind. So is the destiny. Like that very, you don't think, okay, so I'm going to go right. So I go around the block, and we go past a neighbor's house, and they got dogs outside, and the dogs run out to the road to bark at us like a lot of dogs do, all right? Well, my dog decided that he was going to, I don't know, play super dog or whatever, and decided to jump out of the gator. The only problem was is Emily had a leash wrapped around her arm that was attached to the dog. And so when the dog jumped out, it broke her arm. We ran over the dog, and, you know, it was a big fiasco. Okay? If I would have only turned left. And you think, Brother Chad, that's silly. Yeah, but it, you know, that one decision, and who would have thought, right? Who would have thought? But that one decision affected, it didn't affect me only. You know, it affected her for, whatever, 6 weeks. She missed certain things because of that, okay? Listen, folks, you realize that the choices, and that's a very simple, very honestly irrelevant, once again, choice. But, folks, the choices that we make do not just affect us. And I think it's very important as adults that we realize that, listen, your choice to serve God or not serve God is way bigger than your personal pleasure, your personal enjoyment. Your choice to stay together as a married couple, or, well, this just isn't as important. Listen, you do not realize the repercussions that has down through, not just in your life, down through your children's life, your grandchildren's life. Do you realize that somebody, I was thinking about this the other day, and for those of you that have been on the bus ministry, I think this will make sense to you. Do you realize that somebody that leaves church, let's say we've been picking them up for 5 or 6 years on the bus, or that they've been a faithful member of the church, I want you to think about this. In less than two generations, we will be picking up their children brand new on the bus. Their grandchildren will have never heard about Jesus Christ, more than likely.
Right.
It's proven. We've done it. Kids that have been in my dad's youth group, all right, we've picked up their grandkids that have never been to church, that went to a youth group. Okay? If you're enough to go to a youth group, you're kind of plugged in. We've picked up grandkids that have never heard about Jesus Christ. We've picked up kids that have never stepped, they may have heard about Jesus, but they've never stepped foot in a church. Why? Because somebody made a choice. I was thinking about choices people made in the Bible. Abraham was given a choice of whether he would trust God or try to do things on his own. You realize the whole Israel-Palestinian thing is because of a choice that Abraham made. Okay? Way past the immediate pleasure, the immediate, this is the what I feel like I should do. Okay? And we're still seeing the repercussions of that today. Lot was also given a choice, wasn't he? Abraham very specifically gave Lot a choice. Which way do you want to go, Lot? And Lot lifted up his eyes, and he chose what affected him immediately. I'm not a great investor, okay? I try to learn about that stuff. But anybody in here that does that type of thing knows you do not look at it for the immediate, you look at it for the future. Because you're putting money into something that you're hoping is going to pay off in the future. Doesn't give you, yeah, could you go spend $5,000 on a toy? Yeah, and it's going to give you some pleasure right now. Could you spend $5,000 and put it in a money market something? Yeah, and you know what? You'll never see it for, well, you never, at this rate, you may never see it again. But you may never see it for a long time. But you realize that if you put it in something as an investment, the whole idea is that you don't see it for a while, but in the long run, it's going to pay you back dividends, not the immediate. All right? Lot was given a choice, and it cost him his whole family. Cost him everybody.
Right.
Okay? Esther was given a choice. What if Esther wouldn't have stepped up and made the decision to go into the king? The Jewish people would have experienced a Holocaust before the Holocaust. Okay? They were trying to annihilate the Jewish people. Ruth was also given a choice. She made the correct choice. Her choice was very much, in a lot of ways, you know, Ruth and Lot both had a choice. Hey, Ruth, go back. You can go back and go back to your... And Ruth said, no, I'm gonna go with you, Naomi. I'm going to serve your God. And if you would remember, Ruth married Boaz. Boaz and Ruth were of the lineage of Christ. What if Ruth never would have decided, well, it's easier to go back to my family. I'll just go that way. I'll go that way. Rahab was given a choice. Saved her whole family because of a choice. Okay? Did she benefit anything immediately from it? No. But because of a choice, she saved her whole family. Three Hebrews made, and you can go, I mean, how Joseph made choices, all right? And listen, I don't know what happened to the thieves on the cross as far as their families, their friends. But I kind of suspect that if there was kids there and they saw their daddy who was rightfully accused, rightfully hanging on the cross, their lives were changed by that day. In the same way that I think probably the ones that, you know, listen, dads, what you do and the decisions you make, what I do and the decisions I make are way bigger than how it affects just me. I'm serious. The things you look at, the things that come up on your phone and you pause to look at are way bigger than how it just affects you. Way bigger. Okay? We had a preacher yesterday, Micah McCurry. Some of you may hear him on the radio every once in a while. He's got a very unique voice, like a very radio-type voice. And he preached yesterday, and he was talking about, one of the things he talked about was the and I'll be done here shortly, but he was talking about the suicide bombers, okay? Suicide bombers. You realize, and this is kind of a mute understanding, suicide bombers don't go out in the middle of a cornfield and blow themselves up.
Right.
That makes sense?
Yep.
They go to the place of most, where they feel like they can exact the most damage possible, okay? Listen, folks, that stuff, those little choices that we make, this isn't that big a deal. This is my pet sin. This is a thing that nobody knows about, all right? And a lot of it comes through our devices, okay? That junk That junk, you know what the devil's basically doing? Loading you up with bombs. Loading you up with bombs. And you know when he hits the detonation button? Is when you are in a position to cause the most damage.
Right.
It's not just about you taking your life. It's about how many lives can you affect when you go out.
Yeah.
And I never thought about that. But think about it. How many Christian people do you know that something blows up in their life and it doesn't just hurt them, it hurts their wife, it hurts their kids, it hurts their ministry. Why? Because of some bad choices.
Right.
Well, this is I'm not hurting anyone else. Yes, you are.
Right.
Yes, you are. How long is it going to be before it blows up? Maybe until you have a lot of influence in a lot of kids' lives. You blow it up. And you know what? All of those kids have to carry that with them. Man, choices. What did that thief do? He made some right choices. I don't know what happened to his wife that day. You know, I'm just supposing. Maybe they were married. Maybe they had kids. But one woman saw her wife with his dying breaths, asked Jesus Christ to forgive him. You know, how would that affect, you know, ladies, how would that affect you? Why? Because one man's choice. One man's choice. Listen, folks, choices are way bigger than the immediate presence, the selfishness that we have many times, okay? That decision to follow Christ or to not follow Christ, listen, folks, is not just going to affect you. Sometimes we get in these places and it's like, is this even worth it? If you've not been there, you will be there. I can go do whatever I want. Is this worth the sacrifice? Hey, is this worth keeping this marriage together? Is this worth, listen, yes. For who? For your kids? For your grandkids? All right? Don't give up. Don't throw it all away for one. Yeah, sin has pleasure for a season, but it's a short season. It will.
Amen.
That's the Bible says that. Sin has pleasure for a season. It will give you pleasure, but the long-term repercussions.
Right.
All right? Pick a person in the Bible and look at choices that they've made. Any person. And see how the choices affected them. Be sure your sin will find you out. All right? And what did the Bible say? You know, carry on the sins of the fathers, what? To the third and the fourth generations? All right? It can affect them. That's one of the things that drives me. What? The next generation. I don't want my grandkids, I don't want his grandkids to ever grow up and not have the opportunities that I had. You know, they all have to make their own decisions. I understand that. But I want them to have the best chance of success. And let's just choices. Two men, two different choices. Let's make the right choices. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for the opportunity you give us to be in your house today. Lord, help us to make right choices. God, help me to make the right choices. There's so many things in life that are little things that if we make the wrong choice, Lord, help us to, Brother Reed last week talked about glorifying you in our choices. And God, I pray that you just help us to do that. Help us to honor you, glorify you in the choices that we make, the decisions that we make. And we'll give you the praise and glory for all that you do. Guide us and direct us. Give us wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen.